Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I am Atik Hamadbhati, a fourth-generation homeopath with over 20 years of professional experience in this field of healing. In the Homeopathy Health Show, I'll be talking all things homeopathy and natural, with guest interviews, tips and advice, and answering some of your questions. Homeopathy is truly a unique complementary system of healing suitable for all ages, young and old. I'd love to hear from you and welcome your questions on homeopathy and how it can or has helped you. Feel free to email me at health@liketreatslike.co.uk or visit www.liketreatslike.co.uk for more information. Whilst you're there, take a look at the Knowledge Academy and blog section, where you will find interesting information. Both sections are growing day by day, so always check back. So let's begin today's show on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio, real feel-good radio. Hi everybody, I hope you are well and in good health, and as always, I sincerely hope and pray it remains that way. So I do hope you enjoyed last week's episode, where I was talking to Camilla Scher about her journey into homeopathy, her work at the Dynamis School, and co-founding the NGO Homeopathy for Health in Africa with her husband, Jeremy Scher, from the Dynamis School. It was a wonderful episode, wasn't it? Because I got to talk about so many different things and a very popular and upcoming and emerging field within homeopathy itself, actually, which is to do with homeopathy for plants. So let's move to this week's episode and let me introduce this week's special guest. Today's special guest on the show is Hermann Kepler, who is the founder and principal of the College of Naturopathic Medicine in London. Now, Hermann has over 30 years of experience as a practicing naturopath and homeopath. During his studies in Germany, Switzerland, Israel, Denmark, and the US, he has gained specialist skills in homeopathy, nutrition, herbal medicine, acupuncture, and clinic management. He has also written several books and has given many interviews on both radio and TV. Hermann, thank you so much for taking the time out to come and talk to me today on the Homeopathy Health Show. I hope you're well.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm well indeed. I'm based in Florida. I'm in Florida doing more educational work, and at the moment I'm in Ireland.
You have a wealth of experience, and I also note that you have two degrees, of course, one in engineering and the other one in naturopathy. So I'm interested, and I'm sure the listeners are going to be interested to know, how did that journey begin into, you know, natural medicine, from being, you know, very engineering based mindset to opening up to natural medicine?
Yeah, I've been always interested in natural medicine, also during my studies in becoming an engineer. Then at the end of my studies, I have been sent to Israel for a research project on lasers. And I had an accident on a laser machine where three fingers of my right hand were cut off.
Right.
So they could luckily fix them very nicely together. But there was a problem after that with pain, feeling, sensation, circulation. The bones didn't want to melt together. After 4 weeks, I went home to Germany. I saw all the experts you can think of, all the doctors, professors, in the hope they have a solution. As an engineer, you know, you have a problem and you find a solution. Now, the solution which was given to me was to take off the fingers again and, be without my fingers. And at the end, I remember have studied with a friend of mine who became a naturopath on the side. So I saw him and that changed my life. He gave me a homeopathic tissue salt, calcium phosphoricum, in a low potency. I took it 2 times a day. In 2 weeks, you could change the bone starting to melt together. Doctors didn't understand that. They couldn't understand. He gave me a homeopathic remedy for the pain and an acupuncture treatment. Pain disappeared within a week totally. I refused to take painkillers. And then he gave me an ointment to improve blood circulation. He also did the iridology session. He looked in my eyes and he said, "Oh, you got a weak back, lower back, and you have still a irritation or infection in your left ureter," which made me think how one could detect and diagnose by looking in one's eyes. But on the other side, I understand he was absolutely correct. He helped me on my pain. He helped me on the bones melting together. Had my fingers back. They're nice. I can windsurf. I can play tennis. I can play ping pong. So the right hand can write like in the old days. So I started to think. I thought, well, you know, I saw all these top guys, all the top experts. They didn't have an answer. And then I thought, well, if you have a real health problem and you must rely on those sort of people, then you might be in danger. And for that reason, just for that reason, I started and enrolled in a naturopathic training in Germany, which was relatively short at the time. And I bought a clinic after I finished. And then that was like a deep shock. I saw first time really clients, with real problems. And from then on, I started to study like day and night. There was no class, no weekend lecture I didn't attend. I had to study. I added another 3-year training, and that was in homeopathy. Mm-hmm. And as you know, that's my specialty. It's the most fascinating topic, healing modality I can think of. So I became a homeopath, and I did some other stuff on the side as well, as you mentioned. Yeah. So that's my journey.
I've, as you were speaking about your injury to your fingers and the tissue salts, if we look at the history of homeopathy, which obviously you're very familiar with, this is how some of the great homeopaths after Hahnemann actually came into homeopathy, because they went to a homeopath. They were treated for something which they weren't receiving adequate treatment for, which wasn't being cured as such. And this is what turned them towards homeopathy and their interest. And I just find that there's so little, actually, I think, that we know about homeopathy. The power of healing that homeopathy possesses is just absolutely, it is mind-boggling, isn't it, Herman, don't you think?
It is 100%. Sometimes I couldn't believe it myself. Sometimes I left the treatment room and thought, well, how is that possible? A few drops changing one's health entirely. I mean, sometimes it takes weeks or months, depending on the condition. But I mean, I just had a case with pneumonia in a friend of mine in Florida. She has been treated, I don't know for how long. I gave her 2 remedies, an acute and then a more chronic one. She was 100% fine in 1 week. So that's a relatively severe case. You can fix within a really short period of time. But the most joy I had in treating patients was on mental conditions. Luckily, I was trained by a well-known German homeopath from India, actually. And so I understood from the beginning that disease comes basically from the mind, from the person or disease depends at least at the personality. And depending on the personality, you would choose your homeopathic remedy. So if one has a cold, for instance, the remedy depends on the personality and on what we call constitution. So in other words, what I want to say is treating a client or patient homeopathically, it has an effect on its overall being. So the personality would, let's say, come back to normal. So in other words, it has a very positive effect on mental disorders, if you like. I don't like the term disorder, but on the personality, name it, call it like depression, anxiety, all of that. The most severe cases I had down this line is postnatal depression, which can be most horrible. Woman not being able to do anything, not looking after the newborn and the parent, the family, etc. Sometimes you just give it a few drops of a particular remedy, not too many, and the person will change. That's the power of homeopathy, and especially in this time, anxiety is a mega topic. Homeopathy has beautiful answers to that.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely. And, you know, that's actually something very close to my heart as well, because I have found in recent times where more and more people are opening up about their mental health and emotional complaints or ailments, or the dis-ease that's you know, that they're suffering from, that homeopathy does actually have the answers. It not only restores balance, but it enables an individual, you know, to heal and move forward. And I also very strongly now believe that in this, you know, 21st century, with the myriad of diseases, especially mental health concerns and ailments, homeopathy is having a renewed interest because of that. And yet, how amazing that this was founded over 200 years ago. It's not new remedies necessarily that we're using. Oh. We're still using those remedies that were proven, you know, at the time of Hahnemann, and of course a few after as well. But certainly, you know, that power has always been there, that power of healing.
Absolutely. The great work of Samuel Hahnemann was he formulated kind of laws or principles, which were true at the time, even before, and they are true now as well. So we have the same principles applied in homeopathy as 200, 250 years ago, and it works everywhere. So, and I would call this a true science. That's science based on experience, and everybody can follow those principles and apply it, and it then works. Now, that's slightly different, or very different, to what's often called science. Homeopathy is a true science. And it's proven, it does prove itself, basically, with each single treatment. What I want to add is that homeopathy, as well as Bach flowers, actually, which is English therapy, affects the personality, the mind, if you like, on humans, on animals, but also on plants.
Yes.
So plants can be in the shock situation. Animals, pets can be in the shock situation. And it works like beautifully. We had recently in Florida a hurricane. I was looking out of the window. My wife was saying, look, the trees are turning brown, or the other bush lost all its leaves. So we went out there and said, oh, good. Well, very, very interesting. There must be, since the hurricane, there must be under shock. So we applied homeopathic remedies. The one tree got the silica, which is known for fear. And then we applied a homeopathic Bach flower remedy, mimulus, aspen, on the other plants. And the bush, which lost all its plants, came back in 2 days. In full power.
Brilliant.
And the banana trees, they took a bit longer, but they are fine. They're totally fine. So in the neighborhood, they cut down trees and bushes not in my garden. That's how homeopathy works, or Buffalo remedies as well, influencing the mind. If you are in shock, body doesn't work properly. And a standard remedy, and you know that, I always prescribe on a woman in labor. Now, there are two things for the baby. The baby is under shock, obviously. So that's aconite. And the mother is in a more physical shock and is bleeding, more or less. And that would be arnica. And it works out beautifully. There's no children's or very rarely seen on newborn babies who are treated homeopathically right from the beginning.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It's also, I'm fascinated, you know, by what you're saying, because I treat a number of patients who want remedies for pets and animals. So a number of horses, need certain remedies. And they always, the patient always, or the client, should I say, looking after the horse, always calls back to say, yes, the horse has recovered from this problem and that problem, you know, with the homeopathic remedies. But also the field that you mentioned, agri-homeopathy, which Camilla Scher, for example, is also doing a lot of work on in Tanzania. Oh, and yeah. She's speaking about, you know, agri-homeopathy, agriculture, as you know, and homeopathy for plants and trees. Yeah. And you've just proven that point, that the magnitude and scale and potential that can be found in homeopathy is just immense. It's just incredible. The healing power is phenomenal. And you have to see it to believe it. And patients themselves are the testament to the workings of homeopathy when they heal. You know, it's not a condition that it's in the mind, because millions and millions of people cannot be able to heal themselves from the mind. But they do need a slight stimulus, which is homeopathy. And the body then, of course, goes into that healing process.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the remedy which does the healing. The remedy gives the impulse, and then the body heals itself. Mm. That's how homeopathy is working. We're not healing at all. We give the right impulse or whatever's needed to the body, and then the body would say, hey, yeah, I know what to do, and the body does it. But the way I became a homeopath, I actually through a client. As I said, my Indian homeopath was great, phenomenal. Now, he didn't have too much training on nutrition. He always said, well, no, eat and drink what you like and we'll be fine. And if there's a problem, there's a homeopathic remedy. So I continued to eat and drink what I enjoyed. And it was, according to naturopathic principles, not always the healthiest one. So I had a bit of a belly. And one day I had a client and she gave me a little booklet, how to detox and cleanse yourself, pointing right at my belly. And I read it overnight. I was like, mind blowing. So I thought, well, I got to do something, get the crap out of my body. Because I was tired at times. And I ordered next day some herbs and put myself on a detox program. And I was like, unbelievable what I got out of that.
I know you've studied, obviously, naturopathy and homeopathy and nutrition, herbal medicine and Chinese medicine. Now, how does that work for you? How does knowing the different systems and the different modalities there, how does that come together for you personally? How does that work as a pathway to healing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm mainly to 99% a homeopath, and I apply nutrition principles or nutrition detoxification, fasting. I'm a great believer in fasting. Also other things like I dive into fitness and exercise since a couple of years ago. As a therapy, there's nothing more powerful than homeopathy. But sometimes, you know, you don't find the homeopathic remedy. It doesn't work for what reason ever. And therefore, it is important. It is good to have other modalities too. Clients are asking, you know, they want advice on nutrition. Nutrition detoxification is extremely important. As a result of this booklet I got from a client, I put myself on a fasting program a couple of months later, and I did a number of various fasting programs. You know, there's, you can do juice fasting, tea fasting, broth fasting, just water fasting, all sorts of things, long-term, short-term fasting. So I tried it all, and the energy I got out of that was amazing. You know, I used to sleep 3-4 hours a day, being full in energy, which changed my view on food more and more. I mean, once you're on the fasting and kind of cleaner as before, you get more sensitive to food. So you feel what difference it makes on the food you put in the body, especially sugary stuff or empty nutrients, which blow your belly and gives you maybe some headache or dizziness or tiredness, at least. So you want to stay away from that. But also the initial experience I had with a friend of mine doing iridology, I just wanted to have a basic understanding on iridology, and a fascinating diagnostic tool, because also sometimes the client are expecting more than just a homeopathic remedy, especially in Germany. Clients are asking, oh, are you doing iridology? Yeah, of course I do iridology. So look in one's eyes and see a few things. And it's nice to see those connections. But also, so I'm not a herbalist. I can't say I know a lot about herbs, but I can add herbs in a homeopathic prescription, a way of homeopathic application to support organ functions. You know, if let's say if the liver is down, or there's a weak, whatever, kidney or heart function, there are particular, depending on the symptoms again, like we do this in homeopathy, you would add maybe a herbal mixture. But as a homeopath, you would never, at least initially, mix too many or even two remedies or treating modalities together, because you want to know what is doing what. So you may start with your homeopathy, and then you may add some herbs, or put a client on a change of diet or detoxification.
Detoxification is a very pertinent subject matter nowadays. We're ingesting, aren't we, chemicals through food consumption. Even some reports have shown that organic food is actually probably full of more chemicals than the non-organic food. And then in this connected world, we're surrounded by technology and, you know, radiation and electromagnetic frequencies and the stressful environment. So surely this is going to and is having a very detrimental effect to our tissue matrix as such. So how does detoxification, I mean, the work and fit into this, as far as starting from a foundation as such, where you've cleansed your body as far as you can? I know it's not always possible to do 100%, but you've experienced this yourself, haven't you? Very successfully.
Yeah, I mean, the most powerful detox, in my opinion, is fasting. There are a number of different fasting. I wouldn't recommend to do a water fasting straight away, but you can start over the weekend, saying a very simple fasting or intermittent fasting, which means cut a meal a day. If you're not hungry in the morning, don't eat, or you should not eat late, let's say after 6. So cut out one meal. So that's a good start. Or you would say, I don't have solid food on a weekend, for instance, just liquid. Maybe have an enema in between, and then you can extend next time in a couple of months, maybe 3 days, maybe a whole week, where you just have liquid food, high in minerals. That's important. Ideally, you would have an enema after the first 3 days, a couple of enemas to get the overload of toxins out. And you would see you feel much, much better. You can't get rid of all the toxins and radiation and all of that, but you can feel a million times better by eating correct, not overeating, cut out the sugar, cut out coffee. Coffee is not something to drink. It's very toxic.
Tell that to millions and millions of people.
if you drink coffee, if you need coffee, then there's basically something very wrong with your body function. If you're tired and need a coffee to push, it's an addiction, coffee addiction. So you need to get away from those addiction, maybe not all at once, but start with one and replace it. And that's what we train at the college. You know, there might be turmeric or whatever. There are lots of possibilities, but you need to cut out one of those things at a time, you know, sugary stuff or empty food, empty of calories. You've got to cut it out step by step, and you will feel better. And then you add exercise, maybe try skin brushing or cold hot baths or foot baths from time to time, and you would feel a million times better than before.
You're talking about coffee and of course sugar, and sugar is bad per se, but in your experience, you have so many years of experience here in different modalities, especially homeopathy now. What are the foods that are really detrimental that society is so, you know, focused upon having and at any cost?
Yeah, I mean, our so-called modern food, when I look at the basket, in the basket people are buying in the supermarket, there's basically hardly any food in there. So one could say, well, in a supermarket, you don't have real food as a start. There's no food. It's overprocessed, deprived of minerals and vitamins. And then, but let's say if you cut out at least on a gradient, all those things people eat in between, you know, the snacks. They're very expensive. They cost a hell of a lot of money.
very, very. They're
very expensive. Stir-fried food, not very healthy. Barbecues, not very healthy. Have it from time to time, but you got to know, well, it's not too healthy or not healthy at all. You could stay away from it. So that's where I would start. And then there are people that thrive on fruit. Others thrive on more vegetables, steamed vegetables. As you age, the body needs more minerals. So where do you get the minerals from? It would be vegetables rather than fruit. Vegetables, they are higher, much higher in vitamin C than orange. So I would go with your senses, what you like, more or less, but stay healthy, eat more vegetables. Eat less. That's the most important thing. Eat less. Cut out the junk as much as you can. Move away from addictions, no matter what they are.
Do you think there ever was a time that people around the world ate healthily? Have we ever, as a society, you know, different countries, different nations, have ever experienced a healthy diet? I don't think we've ever experienced sort of a stage, have we, in the world where people have been eating healthy, because it's always one thing or the other, isn't it? It's like either the food is not up to standard or it's gone off. And in today's society, certainly it's overprocessed, heavily, heavily processed. And the soil, as you are, of course, very aware, is depleted of any real minerals anyway, because of overfarming and overproduction.
Yeah, that's what we are hearing. And I'm sure that's absolutely true. Soil is depleted of minerals and et cetera. But on the other side, I believe if your body is clean, the body needs a very small amount of nutrients to fulfill its functions. Maybe only 5% of the amount of the food we are used to eat the body needs really. So there are possibilities, or if you eat a healthy, have a clean detox body, you get all the nutrients, everything you need. But the other things you need or you should add, like get your hormones into balance, like exercising, being on fresh air, run or do physical exercise, or jump on a trampoline or whatever it is, swimming or riding, whatever you like. But you've got to exercise on a regular basis to get enough oxygen into your body. Because what I learned is oxygen is the most important nutrient. Disease does not exist in tissues which are high in oxygen. There's no cancer, for instance, if there's enough oxygen. So how do you get oxygen in? Move your body. There are other methods to get oxygen in, but move your body, again, detox, cleanse from time to time, and you get enough oxygen in.
That's fascinating, hearing this from you. And also, I think it's a basic necessity now more than ever before to exercise, like you've said, to get out and get fresh air. And certainly if a recent life example has taught us one thing, which is obviously COVID and staying indoors or being stuck indoors, should I say, is that we need to get out, because I've seen firsthand the lack of exercise and staying indoors during COVID and what that's done to people. And I'm sure you know of so many examples where it's caused problems, of course, with health. But it's actually caused a bigger problem as well, which is not wanting to exercise, but also not wanting to socialize. People have, not everybody, of course, but generally speaking, I come across so many people who are now quite happy staying at home and living the online life rather than going out. And that in itself is therapy, speaking to people, socializing, laughing, crying, you know, talking about things, talking about good things, talking about funny things and laughter and so forth. It's so important, isn't it, to us as humans to socialize.
I agree 100%, and we found this in our colleges as well. Luckily, we could turn our training before into online training, or we started to offer online as well as in class. We had this ready before the so-called COVID started. But it's a bit of a challenge to get the people back out of their home in the classroom. Once they are in the class, they love it, of course. Interaction, people, you know, much better. Also for your soul, much better than sitting at home. I mean, at home. One gets spiritually well if you exteriorize, get out there. In your mind, out of your head. So you do that by, you know, going in the theater, going for a walk, looking at the people, looking at the scene. It's not all bad. It's actually very, very good. We live in a nice, beautiful, wonderful world.
Absolutely.
So if you stop watching too much news and reading too much papers, then you feel automatically better and talk to people. And look at how beautiful life is, or how life can be. And if you're not happy with what's happening around you, then you may want to do something about it.
Everybody has a story to tell, don't they? It's just a matter of engaging. Whatever the story is, everybody has. You know, I've never met anybody who I've never learnt something from. Doesn't have to be in my field, of course. I'm talking generally. There's not a single person. Everybody has a story to tell. It Absolutely. Just needs us to listen, doesn't it?
Exactly. Learning from each other, exchanging, helping each other, socializing. Very, very important. Not locking yourself up. That's not a solution. But if you come across such a person, okay, take him out. Having to look at things, at the trees and other people, and that's what you do. That's one therapeutic concept one can apply, especially when on depressed people. Extremely, extremely therapeutic. I had a friend of mine. He was, he would call it schizophrenic, you know, hearing and seeing things which didn't exist. So, and his wife didn't want to take him to a psychiatric hospital. And so we make sure there's a 24/7 control over him. But we mainly took him out to go for a walk, looking at things, getting him to exercise, to run. And he recovered, took 6 weeks of hard work for all his friends. But he never took medication, drugs. He took lots of supplements and it was in good food. It just got him out of his mind, if you like, by exercising, looking at things. So that's an extreme example how well one could get just by going out there and socializing.
It's also interesting that I find this, and I'm sure you find this, that when I go walking with my good wife and kids, with children as well, we always end up talking about happy things. Not that we talk about bad things at home, but I mean, the subject matter is very, very different. Exactly. One can actually, a lot of the decisions that one can make sometimes are done in a nice, beautiful park as you go past beautiful smelling flowers and trees, and good conversation can be had, isn't it? Because of the environment. Green is naturally a very calming color anyhow. And then
absolutely,
going through even the countryside or going even for a long drive, it gets you to open up and talk about things that perhaps you wouldn't at home. So you mentioned therapeutic, it's therapeutic, 100%. Of course, that's correct, because I've experienced it myself. And I talk about things, I don't go out thinking I'm going to talk, but it just so happens that you end up talking about other things, which you just don't generally. And it's a nice feeling to be able to do that.
Yeah, I did this actually a number of times with clients. Let's say if you're in a, let's call it a difficult environment or suppressive environment, be it work or private. So therapeutic advice could be go on holiday, go somewhere, move out from the environment you are in at the moment, socialize, and very often then you have time to think about it, may come with a solution home, and you've recovered. Sometimes the person comes back and the same thing starts right from the beginning, but at least then you know my environment is not very healthy, something wrong there. So you may want then to focus or help the client to focus on the environment. The client knows basically, but he needs to come with a conclusion. You're not the psychologist who would know everything better than the client. But the client knows, you just need to guide him and find out and help him through maybe to find a solution. Yeah. So going away sometimes, leaving a difficult environment can be very therapeutic as well, contribute to healing. There are enough cases which show, well, since I went on holiday and at such a step, I got rid of my asthma or my eczema or such things. So the mind or the mindset or the influence from outside has an effect on health. As a homeopath, we know somebody comes, no matter what their condition, but let's say a heart attack or a heart problem or diabetes or whatever, you would always ask, okay, when did it start? So you find a time, okay, what happened at the time? And you always find so-called stressful situation.
Absolutely, you know? Yes.
And then the homeopathic remedies help on the stressful situation, but then you need to sort it out in the physical universe so this situation would not appear. I had a guy had a kind of a heart attack, not a heart attack, but close to. Okay, when did it start? After retirement. What's the reason? He felt alone. He was working 40 hours, happy environment, nice colleagues, had a chat, fulfilled a life, and then not fused to anything. So what do you do as a practitioner? You give him some goals. That's what we introduce in our health coach. One has to have goals in life. If you don't have a goal in life, forget it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This brings me actually on to yourself founding the College of Naturopathic Medicine, and this was in 1998.
Yeah,
and today it's thriving for with students from around the world. So how does that, I just really wanted to get an idea of how that makes you feel, because it's a very humbling accomplishment because of the compassion, the need behind it. So any field of healing, and I was talking to some students of homeopathy just before you came on air, and we were talking about this, that any field of healing truly requires a compassionate person. And we know this from the founder of homeopathy. Dr. Hahnemann was so compassionate, and so many years he spent looking for the answer. And then, of course, homeopathy happened, and 200 plus years later, it's still used by millions and millions of people. And compassion is right at the core of this. So I just wanted to get an idea of how you feel, because I know the college is very, very successful, and so many students are graduating in different modalities and being able to go out then and help to heal others. That must be a really a nice feeling.
It's always a nice feeling to see students graduating. It's a kind of a highlight. When we have graduation every year, it's around springtime, March time. And I see this beautiful students coming up on stage and be happy. And the purpose behind what I'm doing basically is to educate, to help people to achieve their goal, to help other people. I'm not so much looking back what happened. People are saying, well, that's great, you're successful and you have lots of students and all of that. That's fine. That's great. But I don't want to live in the past, and life is not in the past. Life is in the future. So I'm more looking towards the future. I achieved what I achieved. And it was nice. Could be a million times better. I'm happy what I did, but I'm not talking. I'm not reflecting too much. I don't want to live in the past. I'm looking forward. What I'm telling my staff all the time, CNM is great now, 25 years in the UK. But I'm always saying we just started. It's just a start. There are lots of other things to come. talk next year, in a year's time, we will add a few more things to it.
There are other colleges that you are serving as principal for as well, are there not?
Yeah, we have in the UK 10 colleges, UK and Ireland 10 colleges in total. London is the largest college. We started a couple of years ago to expand in other countries. Most of it is administered from the UK or Ireland. We have a physical location now in Italy. We have something in Dubai. Yeah, we do have some smaller outlets.
And how do you find the interest overall, non-UK? How is that doing?
The interest overall in people is extremely high. That's the trick as owner of the college, or if you are responsible for PR marketing, to make it attractive, or finding ways how to speak the language of your public, if you like, to get them to study, to make the final step, to come on board and learn something about health, to help yourself and take it further, to become a practitioner. So, and the beauty in my job is, number one, I have multiple tasks. Number one, I'm still practicing a little bit. Then I oversee marketing, I oversee PR, I oversee the education department. There's not one slide which I didn't look at, and there are hundreds, if not thousands. I'm looking at articles, I oversee the whole thing, but I'm also planning the future, if you like. I must go with the time. I can't say, well, now it's great, going great, now we just continue. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that, because the world is changing. People are changing. So you have to finger on the pulse. Luckily, I did learn a few things in America. America is in a few things advanced, and many things way behind Europe when it comes especially to lifestyle and nutrition and healing. But there are still things I could learn being in other states, exchanging, talking to other people. So this has an influence, of course, at CNM. We could introduce new training, which I developed with the help of other guys in Florida, like our health coach. That's relatively new. We developed another training, which is the Natural Chef, the only Natural Chef training in Europe, I would say.
What's that, Natural Chef? Sounds fascinating.
Natural Chef is basically to do with food preparation, or how to eat, basically, and put food together. What we see, what I was, you know, sometimes I watch TV and there are some cooking shows and very prominent people. And how do they judge food? They look at food, they taste food, and look at the texture, and I don't know what. And then they say, well, that's a pass, that's very good, or that's not good. But they're not really measure what's important. They don't know, at least not emphasize on things which are important when you eat. So you eat, the purpose of eating is to nourish the body. So you want to have nutrients, you want to have food. So you want to make sure the food is correctly combined. The food is digestible, absorbable. If you have, let's say, a food and you add like creams and sugary and all this stuff, you destroy basically the good thing you have partially in your food. And then the body gets blown up. So out of that, we said, well, we've got to do something and talk about nutrition, proper nutrition, and how to prepare food, which makes sense. You know, we have different constitutions, different bodies, different requirements depending on your work and where you live. And therefore, also we are in a different health status, and we need therefore different sort of foods. So, and that's what we are teaching. So food which gives you energy, an athlete needs different food as an elderly person sitting at home. So that's what we teach, combine food correctly. That's part of our naturopathic Natural Chef training.
It's Hermann Kepler, it's been an absolute pleasure. Really, really enjoyed speaking to you. And I'm sure that the listeners of this episode of the Homeopathy Health Show will find this all fascinating. Hermann Kepler, it's been an absolute pleasure. And hopefully you will come back on the show later in the year and give us an update on some of the new initiatives as well. I've learned a great deal. I wish you continued success in your field of healing and helping others. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And now it's time for reflection with Poems of Healing. This one is called Proud to be a Volunteer. In my mind, the face of a child, its eyes lost to the horizon, a life without future. A woman with no way of feeding her child that she holds close to her, but without hope. The hands of a man asking for bread, and the pain of a hunger that gives no rest. I feel the misery, the suffering, and the cry for help, which perturbs my nights and gives me no peace. Peace, the world still needs peace. I feel the indifferences of people who have abandoned these people, the desolation of this land that my steps now walk on. How can one still remain passive before this outcry? How can one close his eyes before so much pain? I have chosen not to ignore. I have chosen to be a volunteer, to put my life to the service of others, to leave my own land, to leave everything, to go where there is more need for me, living to help others, to give joy or even only a smile, to help others. It is the most beautiful thing in the world. There is no doubt. It does not cost anything. You cannot sell it. You cannot buy it. It is free. You can give it without expecting to be rewarded. This is the essence of a volunteer. But what pushes me to do all this? The smile of a child who plays thoughtlessly, the joy of a mother who can nurse her little one, the happiness of a father who can work and still believe in a future. Happiness, thanks to my action. This is the reward that one can have. I am happy and proud. I have chosen to face reality, although uncomfortable, and to react. I am proud to be a volunteer. This poem was written by Christian Mazai, published in Sauti, Poems of Healing by the United Nations. I do hope you've enjoyed the Homeopathy Health Show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Tune in next time for more things homeopathy, interviews and segments on the healing possibilities that homeopathy can bring you. And don't forget to visit UK Health Radio online at www.ukhealthradio.com to see the many other amazing shows available to listen live and on demand. Or why not download the app from the iOS and Android stores? Until next time, stay safe and take care.